Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for just another day to come and worship and praise you, God. Lord, I just ask, Lord, that your spirit will lead and guide this time, Lord, that we submit to you, God, that we listen to you, Lord. God, that your voice is the one that we hear today. So God, we just thank you for this time. In your name we pray. Amen. So one of the things you need to recognize about this specific part of the of 1 John is that he is actually addressing a lie that has slipped into the church, that denying Jesus' humanity. They're actually denying that Jesus was human, right? Now, today in the church, I would actually say, not necessarily the church, but in the world, you're less likely going to find people who will deny that Jesus was a person, that he was a human. You're going to find the flip side where people deny that he was God, his deity, right? But it's still similar. It's denying who Jesus truly was. And there are churches or groups that on some level deny Jesus' humanity. Like I think of certain faiths, beliefs that say they believe in Jesus, but they'll say he actually didn't die. They pulled him off the cross because how can God die? So therefore, they are denying Jesus' humanity. Right? But then you have other religions like Islam who say he's just a great prophet. So they're denying his deity. And so this is the lie that's going on in the church. And so as we go through this, I just kind of want to keep that in mind, that this is the message or the false message that John is trying to correct. And this is how he's teaching them to correct it. So the word spirit in verse 1 is actually referring to a spiritual source of a teaching or doctrine. According to John, every teaching about Christ originates from a spiritual source. That spiritual source can either be the Spirit of God or from a false spirit, the spirit of deceit. So everything you learn about Jesus is either going to be from the source of God, the Holy Spirit, or the enemy. And they're both trying to teach you about Jesus. And the enemy wants to teach you about Jesus because he wants to pull you away from the truth of Jesus. And obviously the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal who Jesus truly is. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit in us, which means we do have the ability to examine if a message is from God or from the enemy. One key to this is recognizing if the message reflects the love of Christ. Two Sundays ago, P. Andrew preached about false prophets, so I'm not going to go really into that, so please go online, listen to it. It was a really good sermon. But so I'm not going to really address that much today. But one of the things he addressed was the importance of knowing the word of God in order to know the difference between true and false prophets. And that's absolutely 100% true. But we also need to rely on the Holy Spirit in us to illuminate the words of God and the words that are being spoken to know if they are false or not. And one of the things that you need to recognize with John is he's not talking about people who have just been misinformed. He's not trying to have you cast them out and to get angry at them, but to recognize that maybe some of the knowledge they have, he's not addressing people who aren't purposely deceiving you. He's talking about this idea of people who are, their source is from the devil. One of the things as I was reading this that I was really reflecting on, and I've been reflecting on probably the last several months, is the importance of preaching Jesus. So for the last year, P. Sam has been taking the pastoral staff, and actually Jackie's come to a few of them and a few others, these preaching seminars. And every single one of them always says, you got to preach Jesus. You never hear, oh, just preach about good things. It's always, you have to preach Jesus. And that seems obvious, right? It seems like the obvious statement to make about a sermon that you should preach Jesus. But I wouldn't say she's my friend anymore, but at the time she was my friend. I haven't seen her or talked to her in like 10 years. And I went to her church. And I remember sitting in the church going, something's wrong. The entire sermon, and I mean, this is just false, by the way, was how great America was from start to finish. I mean, as an American, I was just like, well, one, that's just wrong. And two, that's not the point of our pulpit, right? And so even though he was pointing out good things about the United States. Don't get me wrong. Like, he wasn't lying. He was talking about great things about that was happening. But Jesus was not preached. And I remember walking away being like, And I asked her, is this like common like topics? She's like, yeah, we talk about everyday life. I'm like, okay. I don't remember Jesus being talked about once in that sermon. Now, he might have been, but that's not what I left with. And I think that was the key. I'm sure scripture was referred to, and I'm sure Jesus was referred to. But what I remember was how great America was, which is not completely true, right? And so there has to be this balance. And so, like, one of the things I've been really reflecting on, and I think my GIC class heard a little bit about this on Saturday, is my struggle of testimonies, right? We hear these great testimonies, but I'm left with more of who that person is and not always who God is. That's not every testimony. I'm saying the struggles of those specific testimonies. And you know, and we read about this in GIC, about go home, tell your family what the Lord has done for you. The key is what the Lord has done, right? And so even in our sharing of what God is doing, God is who should be lifted high. And if he's not, if we're not learning about his mercy and his love, there's something that is missing. Our focus needs to turn from us to him, right? And we can say, you know, and many people will say, Jesus was a good man. Jesus was great teaching. We should live like him. But they don't see who Jesus truly is. We need to present Jesus in both action and in word. Right? Our life should be an automatic reflection of Jesus, and we also have to use words sometimes to preach who he was. We need to remember to keep Jesus in the focus to be lifted up. His true identity and nature are what we leave people with, that we live by. That is when we know someone and the message is from Christ. God's Jesus, their true love, their true nature must be presented. Now, we also have to be careful because there's teachings in the church about God's love that isn't true, right? Like I don't know why I got on this, but some reason I was looking at one of my cousin's wedding photos from many years ago. I don't know if she's a Christian or not, to be completely honest, because I've only seen her maybe 5 times in my life. So I was like, oh, who is the person who was doing their wedding? So okay, I looked that person up. And he's a pastor. So, oh, okay, maybe she is a Christian, right? Maybe. And then I was researching his church, and I'm not going to say the name of his church, but one of the doctrines they live by is that all people are innately good. Because God's Spirit lives in us, we are good. I was like, But the focus was we are good, not the Spirit that lives in us, transforms us to be in his image, and then helps us become good. It's like we are born good, right? And so you might sit here and be like, oh, that's a loving statement, right? We're good. That sounds great. But we have to actually present who God truly is. That is his true love, and that's what we need to focus on, right? And in that, we remember that Jesus casts out fear. He casts out, he gives us peace, but he also corrects, he disciplines, and he teaches us the true way to live. The next part of the scripture that stood out to me was the idea, greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Now, me being silly and crazy, when I was living at home, my nephew, who at the time was 2, but he's 6 now, He saw monsters everywhere. Now, I don't know if he was actually seeing like spiritual monsters or he was making them up. But he'd be like, do you see there's a monster there? And then the church I grew up in, they had these big, beautiful windows that look out, right? And you can see there's like this beautiful hill and trees and grass. And the windows are probably like 15 plus feet. They might be 20. I don't know exactly how tall they are. I know we can fit a 10-foot tree within there's some space above it. He's like, do you see all the monsters outside the window? See, when he said that, they're like, maybe he's actually seeing actual monsters. So I'm like, he's pointing out the fact they're surrounding the church. So I started teaching him the phrase, greater is he who's in you than he's in the world. He had no idea what I was talking about. He's two. But I would just have him continually say this anytime he was afraid. And so sometimes I'd like listen because we were living together. And I'd listen and he'd be in his room, greater is he who's in me than he's in the world. Right? And just kind of teaching him this. I don't know if he still says it. It's been 4 years. But there was something about reminding him and even reminding myself that greater is God who's in me than he who's in the world. I think sometimes when we preach about the enemy, which we should, because we need to be on guard, we need to be aware, but it can create this fear in us instead of a peace because Jesus is in us and therefore he is much stronger than any force the enemy can throw at us. Right? Nothing. And in this passage, he's talking about understanding and recognizing false teachings. But we can take that and put it on other areas too. Like when the enemy, when we're under spiritual attack, we can remember that God is in us and he's greater than that. When the world seems in chaos, we can go to that center of Jesus in us and it can bring us peace. But we can also have the confidence that as spiritual beings and as the Holy Spirit lives in us, when false teachings are presented to us, we might be deceived for a while, but they're not going to last. They're not going to last. They're going to come out. Right now, they may not come out in every individual church, but people are going to, those who really have the Holy Spirit in them, he's going to start revealing it to us. And we need to remember to go back to the Holy Spirit to discern truth, false teachings. You know, not every bad thing that goes on in your life is from the enemy. Sometimes it's from ourselves, the decisions we've made. Sometimes when life is getting tough, God might be disciplining you. That's from the Holy Spirit. And you don't want to rebuke that. You want to learn from that. And even in those situations, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to show us, is this discipline, is this hardship, like not hardship like, well, I mean, Job, right? God allowed the devil to come after him. It wasn't God who was doing it directly, but it was God allowing, right? And we can start to have the Holy Spirit show us what is actually going on, to open our eyes, right? Like the king's eyes being opened to the chariots, God's army fighting on his behalf. And it's so important to cling on to the truth and know that Jesus wins. So as false truth, as false teaching, as all of that comes in, we know Jesus has already won. The victory is his. And the enemy is not going to win. He might win people, but he's not going to win the battle. And finally, I want us to remember we need to see the world through God's eyes. One of the main themes I've seen throughout 1 John is this idea of the difference between the world and the church. We need to have our eyes on Jesus, to be of Jesus, not to interpret the word, to interpret what's going on in our lives or the spiritual realm from the world's eyes, but from God's eyes. I've said this before, but and especially if you've ever been in any of my house churches or you just hang out with me, that when I first came to SP, the charismatic freaked me out, right? Like actually, it wasn't actually so much the charismatic. I've said this before, is that my friend told me that when they prayed for you, they laid hands on you. And that in and of itself was like, I'm not going to that church. I don't want people to touch me. So, I mean, it wasn't even the charismatic. It was just the laying of the hands really turned me off, right? But God brought me here. And actually, for a long time, he kept my eyes and ears shut in many ways to what was going on in the church till I was ready, right? And then he opened my ears, and I was like, why are people talking like this around me? What's going on? And then he opened my eyes to see like people were being healed. And I was like, and it had been happening the whole time, but I just didn't see it because I wasn't ready. And God opened my eyes at the right time. But I had to go back and be like, I was really struggling. Okay. It wasn't that I was taught against this. It's just I was never taught about this. And so I had these preconceived knowledge. Like I remember, I think I was in fourth grade and I remember exactly where I was at school. And my friend, I remember which friend, I won't say her name, came up to me like, hey, on Sunday, my mom like fell on the ground and started speaking in tongues. I was like, okay. And then at that point, I was like, that's not real. No one told me it wasn't real. I decided in my heart that was false. And so all of this really bothered me. And so, but I was like, but I'm learning a lot about God and people are loving me in this church and they seem like they're not unbiblical. And one of the amazing things was that my GIC teacher was P. Sam Kim. And I learned that he grew up in the exact same kind of church as me. And so I was like, okay, if he's here, it can't be that crazy. And so I decided to do something and put aside all my preconceived ideas. And then I decided to put away everything SP was teaching me. And I was like, all right, God, you just got to tell me the truth. And I just started reading the word. And as I read the word, God built up into me this truth that the charismatic, not everything that you see in a charismatic church, okay? But the idea that we do have a spiritual language, that God does use prophets still, that God does heal people, that speaking in tongues is not wrong. When I read the New Testament, I couldn't deny these things. And then God started to change me. And that was when I humbled myself, instead of looking through my own eyes, instead of looking through God, what I thought was true, I asked God to reveal to me the truth. And I think that's really important when we are thinking about this idea of false teachers, false prophets, anything, anybody, that we know that the truth of God will prevail. And one of the key indicators is God's love. Are they preaching God's love or human's love? Human ideas. Right? When we humble ourselves and we truly ask God, not because we like the message or dislike the message, God will show us the truth. So today I'm going to ask Sam to come up to lead us in worship. And I just want you to reflect on these few things. I want you to ask God, one, to help us love his word better. Anyone who is struggling to read his word, you might be reading it, but you're not loving it. You're not enjoying it. Just really ask God to make you love his word. If you're struggling to seek him, ask him to help you seek him. Ask him to guide you to his way and his truth. That we can share God through his love and who Jesus is and what he has done for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So just ask, I'm just going to pray this over us as we do this, but just really seek God to find those areas that you're struggling with him, just to have the Holy Spirit touch you there. So Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, we just ask that you will show each of us where we're struggling to follow you. Where's the truth of you not in our heart? God, if we're struggling to love your word, God, help us to love your word. Help us to enjoy reading your word. Help us to understand your word. God, if we've been deceived, show us the truth. God, help us to see who you really are. And Lord, we just ask that you be our guide, our light, and our true source of love today.
Praise untainted, praise.
So God, we just thank you, Lord, and we just want to come before you and lift up our praise to you. We want to lift up our petitions to you, God, and we just, Holy Spirit, ask that you will just, just be present, that you'll just guide, and Lord, that, God, that we can walk in the confidence that you hear our prayers. Let's just turn to our community prayers. Let's lift up anyone in our community who's battling cancer, who's going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's just pray that God's peace will be with them, that his healing power will be on them, and that, that they will just draw closer to God during this time. Let's lift up those who are part of our community as family and friends that are sick but also need salvation. Let's just pray that they will have a real encounter with God, that God will heal their physical needs, but he will also draw them close to him, that they will know him, and that they will be known by him. Lift up those who are sick through other various infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing hand in their lives, that they too will just draw close to God during this time. Pray for those who are seeking jobs. Let's just pray that in this season of waiting, that they will wait on the Lord in his perfect timing. Let's pray that God will bring them to the right place. Let's also pray that they don't get anxious, and that God will just be their source, that that they can really just depend on him during this time. Pray for our mission focus. Pray for Japan and P. Sophia, Cambodia, Grace, Oasis House with P. Jenny O. Let's just pray that one God will continue to build up in their lives, that God will continue to fill them up so that they serve out of the overflow, that they will be surrounded by a community of friends and believers that will continually build into them. And let's also just pray for Cambodia and Japan, that their hearts will be open to God, that his light will just really be seen, and that people will draw to him. Let's pray for our mission council, which is led by P. Ricky right now. Let's just pray for a smooth transition as P. Ricky will be leaving soon. Let's pray for just our mission trips this summer. Let's just pray that we'll be a church that's known as generous, and that we can support those in our community, and that you'll just give such wisdom and discernment to this team as they make decisions on where we serve and who we give to, and just that that they will just be more and more connected in this time of transition. Up our local outreach, which is led by Tim and Janella. Let's pray for Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray that God really will be present in these ministries, that God will be seen. Let's just pray for those who go out every time, and those who serve in these ministries will really just know God's love as they go and share His love with those around them. Pray for SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministry led by Cadence. Let's just pray that the children of Hong Kong who don't have families, who are in the hospital or in foster homes, that God will just open the right homes. There will be no red tape, that people can be in their places, that these kids will know the love of God, the love of a family, and that no child in Hong Kong will be without a mom and a dad. Pray for our Friday evening gatherings, IP, SPU, SP Youth. SP Youth is doing Youth Alpha right now, and so we have a lot of guests who are not from within our church. Let's just pray in all these ministries, people draw closer to God, but really for SP Youth, that these people who are coming in, these young people, that they will know God, that their eyes will be open to who He is. Lift up our Friday house churches, Elements, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson, Tavistock. Let's just pray that they can really have a good time of sharing, building community, that God's tenderness, His mercy, His motherly love will be sensed, and that that they can just really understand God's true character. Lift up our upcoming events, parenting seminar, SP annual retreat. Also next week we have Pastor Cheon on Tuesday, who's coming, and also on Friday we have Bob Sorge. Let's just pray that God will really just be in each of these events, that He will be the focus. Let's pray for our speakers, that they will just hear from God, that God will just be anointing them to speak powerful words of truth, and that our hearts and our ears will be open to receive what God has for us. So God, we just thank you. God, we thank you for who you are and your love for us, God. We thank you that you've given us your Spirit to live in us, to help us, to guide us, to help us see truth. Lord, to help us to love like you loved. Holy Spirit, we just give you today. We ask you to bless our spirits. We ask you to bless our minds and our hearts wherever we go. Lord, be our strength, be our source, God, today. Lord, we just thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Have a great day and enjoy the rest of your prayer time.